We give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We rejoice today in this beautiful celebration of the Feast of Christ the King, and see it as our high holy day in the church year. It's our parish feast day. We name the church for Christ himself. You know, a lot of churches may have a patron saint. Maybe it's St. Matthew's or St. Catherine's. We have Jesus as the head of our church proclaimed. And if anybody asks, whose church is that anyway? It's Christ's church. So to him be the praise and the glory and all the honor in all that we do here and all that we have accomplished here as a parish. To Christ be all the glory. Christ, our King. And how fitting it is today that we would have a baptism on the Feast of Christ the King. And hear these beautiful words of St. Paul when he declares that we have been brought into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have just brought Lillian May through the gift of holy baptism and by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now all that Christ has done for our human race is applied to her personally, and she is now translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. She is now an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. So she's leaving here different than she came in. This is a holy and happy day for Lillian. So let us continue to rejoice and be glad for this little one who has been rescued from Satan and is now delivered unto Christ, that she may live with him in joy forever and ever. Hallelujah. We see in these phrases of St. Paul, the gift that is given, and that gift has been given to all of us. Here again, this proclamation of the apostle. We are giving thanks to the Father. He has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we remember at the time of a baptism, our own baptisms, and by faith we accept what God has given to us. He has given us salvation. We gladly receive it. And now we are in that time of sanctification while we are made ready for the everlasting joys of heaven. And who is the Son? We have here again the apostle giving us deep instruction, the deep theology of the church. Of who is the Son? Who is this Christ our King? And hear these words, the foundational platforms of our Orthodox belief in God the Son, very God, the very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Who is this Son? He is the one who is the image of the invisible God, the icon of the Father. If ever you want to know God the Father, get to know God the Son. If ever you want to know God, find out who Jesus is. He is the icon of God, the express image of the Father. The one who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said to Philip. And so we see in Christ the Father's, we see in Christ the Father, for he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. The firstborn of all creation may to some ear sound that he's of the creation. But no, that's corrected later when we hear that all things are made by him and for him are all things created. And so as we say in the Creed, we believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and by whom all things were made. He is the Creator God, the Son of God, equal to the Father, equal to the Holy Ghost. And he is the one who has come among us in the person of the person of Christ has come among us in the person of Jesus Christ, who has then won the redemption for us as God and man. And so this is that same Jesus, the one who is now indwelling us through our faith and through the sacraments of the church, the one in whom we live and have our being, the same Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven. Now, if ever you have a question put to you, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, not to make light of these things, but to highlight these things. Maybe you've been at a cocktail party sometime and people started dropping names, you know, not just to kind of make connection, which is very common, you know, do you know such and so, and you, but maybe they're doing it so they can one-up, you know, like maybe you were at the same college and you knew a certain professor. Well, they knew the Nobel laureate at the college, and they babysat his kids. Okay, well, maybe you knew somebody in the administration. Oh, well, they knew the president of the university. Or maybe you knew somebody that worked in the governor's office. Well, they knew the governor. And no matter where you go, you know, they're one up, one up. I love what Bishop Morse once said. Once you allow Jesus to indwell you, you can drop the biggest name. Okay, you know the Nobel laureate, the professor of the university, and the governor. I know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we know him not just in a distant way, like we might have an acquaintance. We're not just acquainted with Christ. We are baptized into Christ. By the sacramental reality of holy baptism, he has made a tabernacle of our bodies. He now indwells us. And by the refreshment of the sacrament of Holy Communion, he now evermore dwells in us and we dwell in him. This perichoresis, this indwelling of God in us and us in him, is something that is not even, you know, there's other human relationships don't even come close. We may have a friend, but it's nothing like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We may have the closest human relationship, the closest one, or the one that comes closest to this indwelling of God is holy matrimony. And that's where the husband and the wife, through the union of the sacrament of marriage, become one flesh. And they have an expression of love that points to the indwelling of Christ in us. For he is our true spouse. We are all in the bride of Christ, the church, and Jesus the bridegroom. And this is a deep, intimate union that God is seeking for us. And what happens when that indwelling takes place? Our salvation occurs. And what happens when we cooperate with that indwelling grace? Our sanctification occurs. Our true blessedness, our true happiness comes from cooperating with the one who is love, with God who is love, and coming into concert with his purpose for our life and with the ground and being of the universe. We experience that sanctification. We become holy. And so on this day of the Feast of Christ the King, we remember that we are subject to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bend the knee to Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and earth and things under the earth, for his name is exalted. The one who humbled himself to the death of the cross is now exalted above everything, and all of creation will acknowledge him to be the Lord. In this time, before he comes again, we have an opportunity to willingly bend the knee to Christ. And so liturgically, we put that into practice when we do the genuflection. That's a knee bend. We're showing by our bodily actions how we reverence Christ. We're bending the knee to the sovereign King. And this is teaching us, body, soul, and spirit, how we are to approach Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We become subject unto him. And increasingly, as we come to love him more and allow him to love us more, we allow him to have the rulership and the dominion over everything in our life. In our hearts we enthrone him. There let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. In our hearts we enthrone him, and he is Lord over all. It's a very beautiful prayer that comes out of the prayers of St. Ignatius Loyola. And it expresses this willingness to become entirely subject to Christ, to allow him to have total dominion and authority over our life. It's an act of self-oblation. Accept, O Lord, accept my entire liberty. Accept, O Lord, my memory, my understanding, and my will. All that I am and have, thou hast given me. And I give all back to thee to be disposed of according to thy good pleasure. Give me only the comfort of thy presence and the joys of thy love. With these I shall be more than rich and shall desire nothing more. On this feast of Christ the King, may we bend the knee to Christ, accept him as our sovereign Lord, offer him everything that we may have in him all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.